good day. So I'm a little excited now. I'm before the famous Ganesha Mahadeva. Hare Krishna. Nice to see you, Prabhupada. Very nice. Welcome, welcome. Hare Krishna. Is that Hare Krishna I can see?
Hare Krishna.
Secret no one should know about Sachinanda Swami. It is something like a confession. I must tell you that my coming to Krishna consciousness was not such a glorious thing. It had its cause in an event which I would like to share at the beginning of this session. See, I was afraid of the devotees. I saw them in the beginning even as a disturbance in my life. I saw a challenge was coming from them. They looked so absolutely different. They were dressed in such an unconventional way. It started there. And then they danced on the street, something which you just didn't do in my world. When you asked them for their names, they had these... They didn't have Jürgen or Michael. They had some... names. I saw they are aliens and do not fit in our society. And I avoided them carefully. I was attracted, it was a hate love. I would sometimes sit 50 meters away from them on a bench pretending to read a boring newspaper. We just needed a cover to hide myself. So one day, and this was a life-changing day for me. I needed to catch a train to come to an appointment, which was very important for me. And I ran very fast, just fixed on catching that train, that I didn't notice them. They were on a bridge which led to the train station, and I couldn't escape them or run or walk or fly around them like I used to do. I ran straight by. Here was the this was the bridge. Here was the Kirtan party, and here was a foolish young boy trying to catch his train. And I ran and ran, and at the last moment I saw, my God, they're so close. I looked at them and ran, bang, into a Mataji. Both of us went to the ground. I came a little bit disoriented up from the ground, and I saw she was on the ground in pain. And this I couldn't do, you know. I had gone to a school where you learn proper behavior. I was forced to go there. So I said, let me at least help her up. I helped her up, and she looked at me and said, "You are so," she said, "you are so strange. You are so attracted to us that you always sit close by on a bench, hiding behind a boring newspaper. Why don't you talk to us? Find out what it is. Here is a magazine. I'm giving you a magazine. Back to God with magazine." I said, "You just want money. I'm giving it for free to you. Take it." And if you want, you can give a donation. So I had exactly the change in my pocket which I needed to pay my ticket to go to this important appointment. And I hesitated. And then she said, "Lenin said about the Germans, when the Germans decide to go to a revolution and they find themselves standing on a train station, they ask, 'Did you buy your ticket?' It's a revolution." This was my weak point. I wanted to revolt against society. I said, "You have to, my change. Goodbye." And I went and did not catch the train. I was very upset with this meeting, came too late to the appointment. And then, I had this magazine, and I tried to understand. There was one article, "The Peace Formula," written by Srila Prabhupada. I tried to understand it, but it didn't make sense to me. And I thought, this is too much. I was proud. I thought, I can understand everything. I had by that time finished already half of the 24 gruesome books of Sigmund Freud on psychology. I had understood something, and now here was the ultimate challenge. I couldn't make sense of the article. My mind was too polluted and too much absorbed in the concepts which I held dear. And then I made a decision. I will go to these people. There's the address of the temple, and I will discuss with them what is their concept of peace formula, and they should please explain to me what is in this ununderstandable article. I guess it was a bad translation, but really I couldn't make a sense out of it. They explained the verse to me, which was there, which Prabhupada used as an entry into the peace formula. And when I read this verse and I understood finally what it said, it was a life-changing situation. I decided to give this a try. Can I share with you the verse which changed my life? Bhaktaram yagya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suri dam sarva bhutanam gyanvya mam shantim ritsati. A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerity. What's that, I thought? Beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities. The supreme lord of all planets and demigods. What's that? Demigods. and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities. Well, this I understand. A person should understand Krishna as the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. That's what I want to get. I want to get peace from suffering. Suri Dang Sava Bhutanam, I couldn't say this, but I understood. Here was a concept of God different from the frustrated man with the beard in the heaven who punishes us for our wrongdoings. That was the Christian understanding I had at that time. I should understand the Lord as the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities. It means a friend. Oops, God as my friend. A friendship with the unknowable. A bold concept. I liked it. This was the start of my Krishna consciousness, to understand I have an unknown friend, yet unknown friend, who is very powerful. I don't know what to do with our youngest. Who is good with a convincing smile and an alternative meeting place and exciting games, Sandipani Krishna. Alternatives are required here. Now I'm older, I studied the commentaries, and I want to say to you what this idea of making Krishna our friend entails. What do the acharyas say about this? It is my discovery in my spiritual life that for many devotees in our movement, Krishna is anything but a friend. They do not dare to think in this direction. They feel it's maybe, some feel it's sahajiya, taking things too lightly. Others think, my God, he's so far away and inaccessible. A friend is someone I can call on my mobile phone, or this new idea of WhatsApp, brother or friend. Krishna is a friend. Is that just a hype from the Swami hype, or what? How do I relate to this? Let's a little bit reserve this question for a little later. How to enter into a friendship with Krishna comes a little later. First of all, I need to convince the doubter in you. Baladev Vidyabhushana says, the good friend of all living entities in this world, this is Suridang Savabhutanam, means he is an unprejudiced well-wisher. He doesn't have a judgment about you. He has no prejudice. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, look, Krishna is such a friend that even though we are separated and living in the material world, he gives us mercy through his devotees who go through the world. You know, we came in a Tesla car, new invention, but a little impractical when you want to go long distances, and we needed to charge up our battery in the midst of the road, and of course the charger was occupied, and it was we had to wait and so on, and we everything became difficult, and we thought, this is a good car for the towns, but for long distance we go by helicopter. But in this world there are many charging stations for bhakti, says Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. You need to find good devotees and then connect with them and charge up your bhakti so that you can go for a long time, a long distance. And out of His mercy, Krishna has made it possible that these devotees are there. This is a sign of His devotees. Uddhava addresses Krishna as his dear friend by looking at something else. He says, he stands before him and calls out to him, "You have not forgotten those living entities, even if they have turned away from you." And for this, transcendental poets can't express their gratitude to you. Two things you did. Where you prove that you stick to the friendship. You came as a super soul inside the heart, and you are always there, accessible, right, closer than the breath. You are there in the heart, and if someone turns to you, you turn to him and give all facilities for advancement. And you came as the instructing spiritual master. This is Uddhava's proof. Look, Krishna, you have not forgotten me, although I have forgotten you. You came with me, although I wanted to go away from you. You captured me. You are there in the heart. What a reliable friendship you have. My dear devotees, in this lecture, I want to speak two messages. The first is, you can be peaceful in your life only if you accept Krishna as your friend, if you make a friendship with him. And the second thing is, message, there are certain things which you can do to establish a firm friendship with Krishna in your life. So let us start with the first point. In the Gita, the Lord says, if you are conscious about our relationship and you see me as your benefactor and well-wisher, you attain peace from the pangs of material miseries. My dear devotees, are you peaceful? Not always, isn't it? Many things, upsetting things. Nityananda looks quite peaceful, and he says, even he says, so-so. It may be that you have not yet entered into a relationship with Krishna, a friendly relationship. You may have some relationship with Krishna. I think we have. You see, we visit him on the altar. He's there always. But a friend is someone we take with us, no? We go on a stroll, or how do you say in your language? We go on a swing with him. You know, we experience something. And when you have this relationship where you are actually able to turn to Krishna and Krishna turns to you, you are really becoming peaceful. Everything is all right. What could happen next to such a friend? I remember when I was a little boy, I must have told you, I was very independently minded. I still have traits of that. My best friend was actually my grandfather. My grandfather was the one who taught me everything, because I ran away from school always and spent time with him, listening to him. He was very kind, and we would go on walks often. And the moment the gate to the garden closed, I would start to run. He had me by the hand, but I would wriggle my way out of his hand. Big hand, I remember, you needed strength. And I would run and I would shout my slogan, I can do it alone. In German, you would say, kann alleine, kann alleine. This is, I still hear my sound vibration from, I don't know, 59 years back. Can alone, I can do it alone. I did do alone until a dog, we had an area where people walked their dogs. Until I saw a dog, then I ran and put my hand back into his hand. But there was no danger. I can do it alone. I turned to him only in danger, not in another situation. I think many of us have a relationship like this to Krishna. We call out, I can't do it alone. But when there is some fierce danger, I mean something really bad, maybe we proposed to someone and she said no. Our sanity is in danger. I mean some really, now jokes aside, some real heavy thing like disease or a relationship broke which is important to us, then we may turn to the Lord in prayer. But this is more, we see the Lord more as an order fulfiller, not really as a friend with whom we share things and go through everything in life, the good and the bad. When you Buddha Bhavana gave an excellent lecture, which I would like to highlight one point. He said, it is seen if people are in a loving relationship, they feel love, their resilience is very strong. It means they have inner strength to deal with obstacles. This comes from a loving relationship where you feel loved, where you feel you are in a loving holding context. You can do anything and everything when you have that security, that psychological security. And when you feel alone and rejected by the world and your friends and even God maybe, then you are very weak inside and you crumble and break very easily. But people who are in a relationship of love can have a lot of inner strength. The word is resilience. That is the word he used. The fact that we may still need more inner strength, I think no one would say I don't need, can show us that we don't have this ultimate loving context which holds us. Because, only a friendship with Krishna will not break. Abhishek read this and he's our master of ceremony, it must be true what he reads. It's actually a quote by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said, if we make our friendship with Krishna, it will never break. This is the conclusion also of Akrura. Akrura, on his way to Vrindavan, was in a twisted mind. One side of him said, I don't know if Krishna will receive me. I mean, up till now, all people who came from Mathura, being sent by Kamsa, were killed by Krishna. He killed the demons who came to extract him out of Vrindavan or even attack him in Vrindavan. And I'm also a messenger of Kamsa. I also come to from Mathura. I don't know if this is will be a successful mission. But then he had another idea, which he later expressed in a beautiful, heart-touching shloka from the Bhagavatam. He thought, Krishna is right in my heart, and he's the best friend. He will understand me. He will look at me and he will know that I'm his devotee only. Although externally I'm engaged by my cruel master. Later, Akura expressed to Krishna his thoughts on his friendship with him in a verse which I would like to read to you. It's from the 10th canto. Ka pandita svatapalam sharanam samiya bhakta priyad ritagira surida surida krita gyat sarvam dadati surido bhajato bikama atmanam ap yukshapaya chayayo nayasya. What learned person, my lord, would come to anyone but you for shelter? Because you are the affectionate, grateful, and truthful friend of your devotees. To you, those who worship you in sincere friendship, you reward everything they desire, even your own self, yet you never increase or diminish. So Akura thinks Krishna has three qualities that makes him my best friend. He is affectionate to his devotees. He always loves, he has a soft spot for his devotees. There's a statement which says Krishna has no place in his heart for the mistakes of his devotees. That's a friend. When you are with a friend and you blow it, you make a mistake, and he says, no problem, we are friends, you know. Imagine you with a friend and all of a sudden an aggressive smelly wind comes out of you and so bad you feel like dying, and a friend says, no problem, it happens in the best families, no problem, be yourself. Ritagira, he is keeping his word. Queen Kunti once praised Krishna for this one quality. You keep your word. You are truthful. I can rely on you. She said, even the sunshine may one day become cold, or the moonshine may one day become hot, but still your promise will never fail. Oh, beautiful. She said this at the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, where the best warriors fell to the ground. Krishna had told her, Kunti, I promise you that there will always be five Pandavas. So many died. Even Karna died. Duryodhana, Bhurishava, all the Maharatis laid down their lives, but five Pandavas were coming out of this massive holocaust unscathed. They had no problem. You have kept your word. There's a very nice episode which I just read. I just finished the Mahabharata again. I finished it and I started again. I like it very much. There's a lot of life lessons. You know, at the end of the Kurukshetra battle, Krishna requested something extraordinary from Arjuna. He said, you step down first from the chariot. I will stay and go after you. This was extraordinary because the chariot driver, would always go from the chariot before the hero and help him, you know, with his armor and everything to get down from the chariot. But this time, Krishna reversed the role. He said, you go down first. And Arjuna went down and said, Krishna said, step aside. Arjuna stepped aside, not knowing what. Then Krishna jumped off the chariot, and the moment he was no longer there, giving his protection to Arjuna, the chariot burned to ashes, because there were so many missiles, so many curses, so many ill wishes over that chariot. But as long as Krishna was there protecting Arjuna, they couldn't do any harm. Only when Krishna abolished the chariot, did it burn to ashes. Krishna had kept his word, even in this unlikely circumstance. And finally, Akrura makes the point, you are my friend because you have another quality. First quality, you love me, you are affectionate. Second quality, you always keep your word. But the third quality is even the best. You are Krita Gyad. You are grateful to any little thing which is done to you. Rupa Goswami says, any person who is conscious of his friend's well-wishing activities and never forgets his service is called grateful. I like this also in my spiritual master. He was always so so happy he appreciated any little thing which was done for him, and he would fan this. He would say, how nice you have done for things like bringing in a plate of prasadam, which is really not difficult. He would praise, he had praised me once, how nice you bring in this plate. How grateful Prabhupada. Yes, huh? Gratefulness is also a quality of a friend. By the way, if you want to be a friend, or want to have a friend, be one, they always say. I picked this up at one of the, I think, was it Gogopal or our Ganeshyam Priya? So if you want to be a friend, be affectionate. Keep your word. Be truthful. And also, be grateful. Acknowledge what the other does for you. Will you be acknowledging? Fine. So I want to come in the end of this presentation to how you can establish a relationship of friendship with Krishna. Do you want to know this?
Yes.
How do you do this? I know how to, you know, try to make a friendship with devotees. I would give them prasadam. That's always good, especially this Mahaprasad from the manna. I think you can get anything you want with just a prasad from the manna. It's so extraordinary. Got the love of our elderly mother. You know, with K, who left the body. Yes. That is really extended into these preparations. So, but how to make a friend with Krishna? I mean, he has eaten the Bhaktivedanta Burfi, and you know, it was already offered to him. What do I do to enter into a friendship with Krishna? And really, where I feel his friendly nature. Krishna in the 11th canto gives away a secret how we can approach him and make him our friend. He says, I'm very dear to the devotees and sadhus, and I'm attained by them through unflinching faith in devotional service. You need to do devotional service, and that's how you attain Krishna. Now, which one bhakti activity is most efficient to convince Krishna to enter into friendship with us? This was discussed in a very unlikely meeting. I call it always the meetings of the super giant with the small giant. It was in Varanasi. There was this leader of the the Shankara school, Prakashananda Saraswati, he had 60,000 disciples around him. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, had come in his humble role as a devotee to discuss with Prakashananda, and he convinced him of bhakti as being higher than the Mayavadi school, the teachings of the Mayavadi school. And then he said to him, now Prakashananda, please hear from me something about the process of bhakti which is applicable in any country for any person at all times and in all circumstances. I take it that this method, which helps us to attain Krishna in a relationship of friendship, when it's applicable to a country, it must be applicable for England. If it's for any person, it must be applicable for Kavi and me. If it is applicable at all times, it must be applicable even in the evening. And if it's applicable in all circumstances, it must be applicable in these 2 minutes before I go to sleep. I'm lying already, but brother sleep is just approaching. I don't know how he gets there, window or something. So it's something which works in all circumstances. And then he explained to him, there is a way where you can bind the unbindable Lord. You can actually bind him to your heart. How to do this? Well, he quotes a verse, it's from the 11th canto. He says that even by chanting, even if it's done inattentively, the devotee binds the Lord in his heart. There's a bondage. Friendship means bondage happening. Because Krishna likes to be praised. That's one of his qualities. He likes to be called upon. He likes to be addressed with his name. There's a Sanskrit a word for this, which I have forgotten momentarily, but it says that the Lord is the one who likes to be called by his name, by the devotees. And he will come immediately to this place, and he will find out what does the one who was calling him want from him. Now, he sees the devotee, and he knows the devotee will not ask him for a Tesla electric car, or for, I don't know, this is just fresh in my mind, because I came with one of these, looks like an airplane, really nice, comfortable ride. The Lord knows my devotee will be, and maybe he has material desires, but he will be shy to speak them. So I will do something for them, even though they don't have asked for this. I will sit in the devotee's heart. That is the Lord's thought. Here is what the verse says. Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who destroys everything inauspicious for his devotees. Huh? Let the darkness go. This Hari does not leave the hearts of his devotees, even if they remember him and chant about him inattentively. This is because the rope of love always binds the Lord within the devotees' hearts. Such devotees who chant his name should be accepted as most elevated. So just like Mother Yashoda bound Krishna with her love to the mortal, the Lord who binds all the jivas by his strong chains of Maya is himself bound by the chain of the devotees chanting. That is somehow And the way if you ask me, how do you understand this? I can only say, that's the Lord's mercy to all us here in Kali Yuga. And the scriptures are very, very vocative about it, about how the Lord comes by even inattentive chanting. There is one Sanatana Goswami describes a foul little story. There's a Brahmana taking his bath in a river, and he's standing there, his Gayatri Mantra, chanting his Gayatri Mantra. Then he opens his eyes and he sees a tiger coming at him. He jumps at him. Apparently he's in the air, the tiger. He comes like this. And out of deep shock, he calls out, "Hari, Hari!" You know, and at that moment, before the tiger gets at him and sinks his teeth into his Brahman belly or wherever they bite, I don't know, Krishna intercepts the flight of the tiger and stops him and smashes him on the head. It was an inattentive chanting, but Krishna thought, he called me, let me come and help him in this situation. It's a dangerous situation. So kirtan, that is a chanting, that's how you enter it. But I always like to say, these stories of, you know, inattentive chanting should not be your motto. Okay, I joined the school, inattentive chanting, that's anyway, it comes natural for me. Let's be natural. No, my dear devotees, if you want to enter into a friendship with Krishna, how do you approach Krishna? How do you approach a friend? You chant like you mean it. Say his name, "Oh, I'm so glad to see you after such a long time. I'm seeing you, my dear friend. Come, let us eat together." You want to do an activity, and you will be surprised to hear something. Once a god brother of mine, His Holiness Indradumna Maharaj, asked Prabhupada, "How should I chant?" And Prabhupada answered, "You should chant like this. You should, like, you call out, 'Oh dear friend, my dear friend, my dear friend.'" This is how you establish a loving bond with Krishna. How do you like this method of chanting? "My dear friend, my dear friend, oh my friend." This means some affection comes from your side, some turning to Krishna. And also other ways, when you do your bhakti, do it, Rupa Goswami says, not inattentively. The activity which you do for Krishna becomes bhakti when there are three things. You do them for Krishna, what you do in Pandavasena or wherever you are. And you do it with your body, your mind, and your words. And now in my mind comes the most important, third point. For an activity to qualify as bhakti, you must do it with the intention to please Krishna. It must be a favorable intention. When you chant, a favorable intention to please Krishna. When you cook, it's for you, my Lord. A favorable intention to please Lord Krishna's appetite. When you do anything, a favorable intention, that is what bhaktas do. Therefore, Prabhupada said to Indradumna Maharaj, "No mechanic chanting, oh my dear friend, oh my dear friend, oh my dear friend." That is how you enter a relationship with Krishna in friendship. I'm almost through. I want to tell you a little pastime from the Bhagavatam in which the mysteries of divine friendship are revealed. This pastime is there to educate us. You know, Krishna had a friend from his school days. His name is Sudama, who became a Brahmana who lived about 120 kilometers away from Dwaraka. Must be Gujarat. Hare Krishna. His wife was Sushila, this was her name, and she noticed that her husband was becoming more and more skinny, a thing which Krishna later also noticed. There was so less wealth between them that between the two they had one piece of cloth. Imagine, you become so poor. If this happens, then we will go to Shuddhidharma and say, Shuddhidharma, give me a jumper, please. One piece of cloth. That means when he was out begging, he took that piece of cloth. When she went out, she took that piece of cloth. They would change it. It was not even very opulent, but it was enough to cover oneself decently. So one day, Sushila couldn't tolerate it any longer. She said, "My dear husband, you have a friend at Dwaraka who's very wealthy. You go and ask for some financial support." Sudama said, No. If I go, the whole world will think this is what bhakti is. One just keeps Krishna as a wealthy friend, and in times of need, one goes and asks for some pocket money. That is not what bhakti is meant to be. I don't want to set this very bad example. So Sushila knew her husband was a little stubborn-minded or strong-minded on this point. She said, "No, then you just go to have his darshan." That was a good idea. Sudama agreed, and he went for a day to the coast of Dwaraka, took a boat to be set across, and then because he was a Brahmana, the Brahmanas were not checked, he walked freely through the different gates until he was inside the town. While he was walking, he was thinking, surely, Krishna is now a king, and we hear he lives in 16,000 palaces. I don't think he will remember me, and also he will maybe not receive me. You know, I'm so useless, I didn't make any, I don't even have a kilo of flour in my home. So he came close to one of the palaces. It happened to be Rukmini's palace. And whom does he see? On the gate of this really, really huge property, on the gate, he sees Krishna standing in the gate, looking down the road which leads to the palace. And when Krishna sees Sudama walking down, you know, with this one cloth, walking down, he's so overwhelmed with happiness that he runs down, he runs towards Sudama and embraces him and is locked in this heart-to-heart embrace for a long time until finally he remembers, "My God, he's so skinny. Maybe I press him too much. He's so frail." And he lets go of Sudama and takes him by the hand. "Oh, friend," he says, "you have come. You have finally come." And he leads him through all the various gates into the inner court of the palace, and he goes right into the sleeping room, which is really the most private room in the palace. He sits him down on a bed which is bedecked with linen as white as the foam of milk, and he takes his hand and he says, "How are you? Do you remember the time we spent together? in the school of our spiritual master. I always think this is a good way to start a conversation. You know, when you meet Pandavasena A, who is now the president of the world, you are there, and you come, and you want to start, you want to start a relationship. You start. Do you remember the old days? And this is how Krishna addresses Sudama. So they talk. Matters which friends talk about, and finally, let me make it short. Krishna asks him, "You are married, but why do you look so skinny?" I see this a lot in the Pandavasena. They are skinny before marriage, and afterwards, they are very healthy looking. So Krishna wonders, so you are married, but why do you look so skinny? And then a little later he says, did you bring me a present? So now before he left, Sudama left, his wife Sushila had gone to a neighbor and begged for some broken rice, because as I said, their supplies were empty, they were very poor. Krishna and Sudama had this pouch of rice under his arm, you know, armpit. And Krishna asked, "Do you have a present?" Sudama looked around, and the walls were covered with jewels, smaragd, and rubies. And he thought, "How can I give this rice? You know, it smells like." Like mices, because the mice are there in the rice, always been in poor situations. How can I offer this to my friend? But Krishna knew it. He came with his hand, he took the pouch, and he started to eat. Until his third bite. Then Rukmini comes and says, "How is this possible? My husband eats this wealthy food, and I'm left alone. Am I not on your list here? Give me also." And she took away the rice. She had also the mission. Rice is so hard. And my Lord's stomach is so soft. It is not digestible. But Krishna ignored what is tasty and what is not tasty, what is soft and what is hard. He saw the love of Sudama and he ate it. Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur makes the point when Krishna says, "Give me," what does he say? Four things. Give me what? Fruits, water, leaves, and a flower. With devotion or without devotion? With devotion, okay. There must be some affection, must be there. And I will accept it. Krishna eats also the flower. You know, when you get a plate and there's a flower decoration, you leave the flower for the eye and the rest is for the tongue. When you are bewildered by love, you do not know this discrimination. This is for the eye and this is for the tongue. You eat everything. So Krishna eats out of the flower, out of love, born by love. He is a lord of love. He responds to love. He wants love only. He is for this type of love we have, my dear devotees. Then Rukmini says, "Please, you give this to me, because already now we are so adapted to him." And there's many things which go on in this pastime. Krishna offers Sudama and Aratik. Sudama is totally bewildered. Me, not me. But then he understands. He wants to set the example that Kshatriyas should worship Brahmanas. And finally, after 7 days, Krishna walks with Sudama out of his palace and sees him off, and Sudama goes home again. But where his house was, there's now a huge, huge royal estate, a palace. He thinks, has a king camped here, or has he come here? But then Sushila comes and tells him everything. Krishna has given us this wealth because he saw you. And she must have twinkled with her eyes, or maybe she only cried, but she thought, my mission is fulfilled. So this is a revealed friendship. This, my dear devotees, these are not quaint stories, nice to hear from Murari Bapu. I have discovered your family tradition. These are very real stories. Krishna wants to see our love. If you think Krishna is never my friend, I'm too fallen, you are most probably right. Krishna will never enter into a more concrete relationship with you. But if you understand, he waits for me. He waits to come back, that I come back to him. He waits to give me his mercy. Then you will do the appropriate activities to become his friend. And the appropriate activities means you will chant with affection, and you will do your services, no longer mechanical, but with affection also, with a favorable intent to turn to Krishna. And he will reciprocate a millionfold. Are you convinced? That was very weak. I mean, if I would be Abhishek, I would say, come on, guys! I've been doing this, I'm not Abhishek. you would laugh me into the ground, but I see you're not convinced. So I will tell you one thing more. When Prabhupada was in Hamburg, he said, in the words of Krishna, God is always after me. We have discussed many times, he's sitting in the same tree, in this heart, where I'm sitting, and my friend, God, is also sitting there. Super soul, eternally. Wherever I'm taking my transmigration, when I leave this body and enter into another body, God also goes there just to see what I'm doing. My dear devotees, we talk now about a relationship which is beyond this earth. Wherever you go next, maybe to Gujarat. I think I should stop this. Wherever you go, the Lord is there to see what you are doing. Prabhupada says, when I shall turn my face towards him, he's simply waiting. And as soon as I turn my face towards God, he says, my dear son, come on. Satcha mama priyo. The Lord says, you are eternally dear to me. Now you are turning your face to me. So I am very glad. I will end. I don't have it any longer. I once had a postcard. There was a little bird sitting on the doormat of a closed door. And the little bird had a postcard in its beak. And it was really looking very anxiously if that door would open. And the only caption was underneath this, it's me again. So I sent this postcard to a friend of mine whom I had lost out of sight. We went different ways. I was mostly in foreign countries. And also there was some, you know, misunderstanding which we had not totally cleared up. But I understood, my friend, I should come back again to this relationship. So I found no better way than this little sheepish looking bird before the closed door with a postcard. It's me again. I think it's time for us to take this postcard in our beaks, in our mouth, go to Krishna and say, it's me again, I want to enter this relationship, this broken relationship, and please accept me in your service. My dear devotees, if you make this step, if you conquer your false ego and get out of your reserved position in relationship to Krishna, please expect miracles to happen. You might find out he has been waiting all this time for you only. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I'm done.
Thank you, Madhu. We're just saying to the team that there may be time for five minutes for any questions, if anyone has, because I can see everyone's really getting into this topic. Nandigo Guru.
Yeah, I've got a same prayer. I saw it. So after Nanda, something first, yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you for a beautiful, inspiring, uplifting morning. It's been really, really phenomenal. This is 7 years of coming along to this mentorship retreat, and I've been trying to be more attentive this time. And being attentive, and something's definitely happening in my heart hearing you speak. So thank you so much. The question I had was, I really, really like the point that Krishna is our best friend. And the thing that's always stopped me is this, just like you mentioned, this feeling of I'm too fallen, and so I should somehow approach through the guru, through the parampara, which obviously we find out everything through guru and through parampara. But there is still this desire to have a direct relationship with Krishna in my heart. So I just wondered how you reconcile the two, how you understand you can be Krishna's friend even though we're so fallen.
Yes, Krishna himself directs us to the spiritual master in the Gita. Das Tadvidi Pranipatina. And when we come to the spiritual master, he is something, I think you might have heard it, a transparent media. He will direct us to Krishna. He will show us Krishna on the altar. He will teach us how to serve Krishna. He will explain to us the secrets of devotional service. He's transparent. He doesn't stop. He wants us to look to Krishna. Prabhupada once spoke to a disenchanted disciple of his who said, Prabhupada, I only have faith in you. And he said, don't say this, I might disappoint you also. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. The way I understand it, these two things, guru and, is very important, should not be given up. Or this point which we have heard should not be sacrificed. You have a good understanding, really. The way you might like to understand it is, imagine the guru to be in a room which has a glass door. So, and in that door, behind that glass door, you will find the Lord also. So in order to find the Lord, you must come to this door. But then you see through this transparent media and you get an idea who the Lord is. But you will need further training to approach him, because he is to be seen as Mukunda Preshta, someone who is dear to the Lord and who can train us. But I think we can not, in our thinking as, you know, intelligent or people who try to use intelligence, it's very difficult for us to combine two points. Yes, we hear so much that the guru is stressed, and then we think, okay, it can't be something else than the guru. But no, there's a second point. And I remember, really, you can see Prabhupada is training us, really, in entering into a relationship that with Krishna. It's a training, by and by. And I really think it starts as you do your services, to be mindful of Krishna. And as you increase your services, your heart your heart becomes more and more purified. And especially in chanting, you say, my dear Krishna, it is there. But does it mean this is a wrong? What? You're not addressing Krishna, you address the guru. No, you address Krishna. But you need to come to the door behind which the Lord is there, the transparent door. Hare Krishna. Ganesha Priya.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for always bringing us to a place of being able to connect with Krishna heart to heart, face to face. I'm always very grateful and fortunate to be in your sessions. My question is about this particular point, this beautiful point that you shared, that Krishna has no place in his heart for the mistakes of his devotees. Yeah. And my question around that is, when does it become subconsciously taken granted for?
Yeah.
So even if we're not consciously exploiting that, what is the line from conscious exploitation to subconscious exploitation of that? We always take good friends for granted.
You all have understood this? Very good question, yes. You cross the line when you lose this, when two things happen. First of all, you think, well, I can do anything, I have a best friend. That's called committing sins on the strength of chanting, or and it refers to all other areas in bhakti, that you think, well, I'm amongst the chosen ones. No, I can do what I want, I'm on safe grounds, he will tolerate everything. If that mentality settles in, if you have crossed this line, then there is not much which bhakti can do for you. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, this is only corrected by suffering, this mentality. And you notice, oh my God, this must be because I did wrong. You know, this is how this is corrected. So, we should not exploit this mood. And there is a second thing which I want to say. Your question was, when do I cross over this line? I think the most subtle crossing over this line is when you start to lose the perspective that I'm doing this for Krishna's pleasure, but I'm doing it for my pleasure. As preachers, we must be very careful because, I mean, I'm not saying to you, I'm saying in general, because so much adoration comes to us. And if we take this, oh, it's adoration meant for me, we exploit actually the feelings of the people. To give you an example which comes in my new book, The Living Names, we can at best be pujaris as preachers who draw the curtain when the conch shell blows. Now imagine a pujari. Let us think of a pujari. That's a little bit far away because the example is quite drastic. It will not be in the pujari of the Bhaktivedanta Mena. A pujari in Radhadesh, a little safe, but safely away. And he comes out, he says, wow, the temple room is full. They came only for me. I mean, I have just got a new tattoo. He shows the new tattoo. And the devotee is saying, you fool! We wanted to see Krishna open the curtain. We didn't come to see you. He should do his job. Preachers also should try to draw the curtain and understand what happens in the process, this adoration, this gratitude which comes, because people get something very important and they say, oh, this was wonderful what you did, what you said. It really helped me significantly. The devotee takes that, the preacher, because he will not say, no, then the person is really, that's really rash. But he knows, it's only, it's for this praise goes to my spiritual master and to Krishna. It is said, when you drink praise, now when you take praise, it acts like poison. But if you give praise to the spiritual master who trained you and to the Lord Krishna, then the same praise is nectar. You offer nectar. You obviously, no one would like to offer a glass of poison to Guru and Krishna. But if you take the praise and offer it, then it's a nectar. That's very important. It says like this. So two things. Yes, Krishna will forgive. He is like this. Like a loving father, when the child speaks wrongly or the child comes to the table, just able to walk, and he holds himself at the tablecloth and pours down the whole meal, it's on the floor, and the child goes, father will not, now beat up the poor child. That would be immature parenting. But child is trying to walk, it's a little child, So, Krishna also does not see like this out of love. But if we take that for granted, and sin on the strength of this, we cannot be helped. We will be punished. And if we also take the benefits of bhakti, or let us say the side things which bhakti offers us for our improvement, this is not good. Collecting Lakshmi and pocketing it, collecting appreciation, pocketing it, it is not ethically correct. Good. Hare Krishna. I'm sorry, next time I will look towards the Matajis and see if there are questions, but time is also there. Let us end here. Hare Krishna, thank you.